standing here with someone new. There will be other songs to sing, another fall, another spring, but there will never be another you. There will be other lips that I may kiss, but they won't thrill me like yours used to do. Yes, I may dream a million dreams, but how can they come true if there will never ever be another?
To order for August 5th, 2019. We'll start with the roll call.
Commissioner Murr is absent. Commissioner Peck?
Present.
Commissioner Goodman?
Present.
Vice Chair Friedman?
Present.
Chair Gray?
Present. We'll start with our consent calendar. Approval of the Library Advisory Commission meeting minutes of June 3rd, 2019. Do we have a recommendation to approve?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Just for the record, for the public forum, there are no speakers in the audience.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, new business. Do we have any new business that we'd like to discuss? No. Seeing none, let's move on, excuse me, to the director's report. Director Gray?
Sorry, some brief technical difficulties. And then the arrow. Okay. Okay, my director's report. Statistics are great. We circulated 51,655 items in June, which was an increase of 7.7%. We had 24,638 visits in June. We 6,015 items borrowed from other libraries, and we loaned 5,027 items. That is out of balance again, and that is because we had stopped purchasing materials because of the end of our fiscal year and paying bills. We needed to stop purchasing for a brief time. We held four outreach events, and we had a total of 488 contacts at those events, and we had 68 programs at the library with a total attendance of 2,299. So the staff was really busy in June.
2,000 Harry Potter.
That event was extremely popular. We had a little snag with our Book to Action grant. We were supposed to end with a social action activity on June 8th, International Ocean Day, with a beach cleanup at Haskell's Beach, but there was an oil spill, and the beach was cleaned up by June 8th, but it was so clean there was no trash to pick up, so we couldn't do that event. And the grantors were very kind, and they just said do anything. So there was a new mural at the Goleta Community Center, and it needed weeding in front of the mural, so we did that instead. We finally received the money from they've got a new name. It's Santa Barbara Adult Education, and it's through the community college. It was a grant that was awarded to us last year, and it means that we can move ahead with our intergenerational after-school homework help program when the new school year starts. So we're really excited about that. We actually added pop-up library devices. No, those are coming in August, excuse me. The Library of Things collection was featured in a KEYT piece, resulting in many new library card registrations. And the item that you see pictured on the screen, a Playaway launch pad, we just added those to the collection yesterday. And they are preloaded tablets with games on them for different age groups. And I understand that they're all checked out. We added 25 of them. In terms of outreach, in June, we staffed a table at the UCSB Care Expo, and we held a Harwood conversation with the IVCSD. With the branches, most of June was spent onboarding the new branches. We did staff recruitments for Buellton. They needed a branch supervisor and also a part-time library assistant. We will need to hold workshops, public workshops, to get input for the name for our new system, and we hope that you will be involved with that. We will hold one down here and then one up north, because we don't want to call ourselves the Goleta Valley Library System. That sounds autocratic, so we need to figure out something better.
So just on that point, it's my understanding that Buellton and Solvang will have their own library advisory commissions. Is that correct? And what's the timeline associated with that?
Yes, they haven't started work on that yet, and I will be going up in a week or so to talk to their friends about that. It may be a little bit complicated because they're planning on most likely doing a joint library advisory commission, and I'm not sure how that's going to work with the two cities combining like that. So it may be a little complicated to organize, but we'll help them out.
We've had our own complications here, so
we've
certainly helped them.
Yes,
with process.
The Summer Reading Club. At the end of June, there were 1,165 children and teens registered, an increase of 33% over last year. And there's Elephant and Piggy, just to make you feel smile. We added a couple of things to the library website. Personalized reading lists. We put up a form, and people can check off genres that they like and authors that they like, and then I'm creating a personalized reading list for them. We've had a number of people take us up on this, including quite a few teens, which made me quite happy because I'm reading a lot of teen books this year, so it made it really easy to make recommendations. And we have a Library of Things page coming soon, which will have pictures of all of the things that we have available to check out. Yes. Yes, I'm a living algorithm. I think I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that. There's a county library advisory committee, and they've decided to extend the contract to a facilitation company so that we can try to arrive at solutions to the problem of the continued problem of library funding in Santa Barbara County. I'm on the tax committee because of our parcel tax, and on the benchmarking committee, and that's a committee made up of the four zone directors, and we're looking at setting benchmarks for libraries of certain sizes and what should be the minimum services for those libraries. And we had major roof work done after a year of flooding, so we were quite happy about that. And that is my director's report for today.
Excellent, thank you, I appreciate the thoroughness. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Those numbers are nice. I look back at a chart you gave us some months ago, and they seem to be, you know, kind of back where they were at the high water mark, so that's great. And, In terms of circulation.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yes. Vice Chair.
At a recent Isla Vista Community Service District meeting, we got in our general manager's report a comment that Lake Limon has managed to obtain from the state $200,000 of funding for an Isla Vista library branch. I don't know if you're nodding, so maybe you've heard about this.
Yes, there was some confusion about, there was a misunderstanding that she thought that there was an Isla Vista library branch. So the grant is for construction for that branch. So we're trying to work with the Assemblywoman to figure out how we might make use of that money. So it's a moving object.
Commissioner Goodman.
You saw me. I'm wondering, with the new community center coming online and the community room, if there might be some opportunity to make a semi-permanent something in Isla Vista, part of a room.
I think because this was not on the agenda, we probably shouldn't talk about it. So, but as soon as we know more information.
So perhaps we can agendize it for a future meeting. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, any other items that we'd like to discuss before we move on to the second presentation related to the programs? Seeing none, go ahead, Director Gray. Thank you.
Okay, I had thought that I was done with my introduction to the library, but I realized I left off one very important aspect, and that's programming. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be brief and go through what is mostly a slide presentation. Just to go over a very skimming view of what we do at the library in terms of programming. We have weekly story times for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and families. I was just working on my director's report for July, and I saw that the toddler story time, which was held 8 times, attracted over 400 attendees. So this is Nicole, who you see holding up the book. She's our baby whisperer. She's amazing. We also have a bilingual story time weekly. Pause to Read boosts oral reading skills for kids that are maybe embarrassed to read in front of other kids. This gives them an opportunity to read to a loving and uncritical audience. It's a wonderful thing to see. The kids will go in there with 2 books and ask the dog which one he wants to hear, and whichever one he points his face at, that's what he hears. It's really a wonderful program. We partner with the Channel City Kennel Club for Pause to Read, and they also do programs for us teaching children how to safely interact with dogs. They're a wonderful partner. We have monthly drop-in craft programs for families. These programs run for an hour and a half, and they generally attract at least 100 children. And these are some pictures of some of the craft programs. This is my favorite picture. I'm not sure what's going on there, but I love that photo.
It's on the website.
Yeah. We have monthly performers, which attract a huge number of attendees. This past week, we had a wildlife animal company who help injured wildlife. And we had a baby kangaroo and alligator and all kinds of cool things. The Friends sponsor these programs for us. We have performances by well-known personalities. This is Natalia. She's an excellent bilingual musician. She's wonderful. We love Natalia. So we take over the whole wing of the children's area for these programs. That's one of the snakes that was at the library with some very brave girls. Wow. We've had community helpers at the library. We do a lot of programs supporting parents and families. We do a lot of STEM programming. So every Friday we have Science Fridays, where we do Legos, snap circuits, 3D printing. And we set a challenge for Legos. And this one Sarah did a secret laboratory, which I thought was very cool. We celebrate theme days such as Star Wars Day, Dia de los Niños. We got a grant for that one this year. Dr. Seuss's birthday, we always celebrate. And then we provide activities for kids during school vacations for those parents who can't go on vacation. This was our summer reading club theme. It's Showtime at Your Library. One of our most popular summer annual summer programs is the Stuffed Animal Sleepover, where kids bring their stuffed animal, and the stuffed animal spends the night and gets to do all kinds of fun things, like listen to a story time. Here we've got someone checking out a Dr. Seuss book at the self-check. Mm-hmm. They play puzzles, and this year they even got to make s'mores. So our staff takes pictures of them doing all these activities and puts them in a goodie bag for the owners who come to pick them up the next day. It's super fun. We have a program called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten. It's extremely important that children be exposed to vocabulary in their early years. So this is a fun program for parents and kids to do. And as soon as they reach that 1,000 books goal, we take their photo and we post it on Facebook. And that always gets about the most follows of anything that we post. We offer community service credits to teens who help us out with programs and other things. And we also do teen programs. This one, we made dog biscuits to donate to a local shelter. We always celebrate Free Comic Book Day and give free comic books to teens and adults. They love that. And we do adult craft programs using recycled materials because we don't have a programming budget. So I like to do crafts using books that we've discarded. So here we made a rose wreath. And here we made, you can kind of see on the table, we made apples and pears out of paperback books. We have our group, the Goleta Yarn Works. They knit weekly for charity. They donate to hospitals and to veteran groups. We have an adult winter program for our adults, and our local businesses are really great about donating all kinds of wonderful raffle prizes. We write and receive grants to support new programming. That's Ocean Country, where we had the problem with our final event. We have a monthly mystery book club and weekly free films at the library. We offer free one-on-one tech tutoring three times a week. People can just come in, and whether it's just that they want help with Windows or they want to learn how to download from Hoopla or OverDrive, or they just got a new cell phone and they don't know how to use it, we can offer them that assistance.
Is that tech assistance widely used?
Yes, it is. And it's mostly staffed by volunteers from UCSB.
Oh, okay.
They've been very generous about helping us. And finally, this is my game staff on International Talk Like a Pirate Day, which we celebrate every year. We decorate the library with all kinds of pirate things and give goodies to the kids. So that's just a very brief look at some of the programming that we do. We do a lot of outreach programming as well, which I did not add any pictures of, but that gives you an idea of our programming.
So at our last meeting in June, we discussed, I think, the readership of the Goleta Library and people coming from not only sort of the Goleta Valley area, not City Incorporated, as well as City Incorporated, but folks that might be closer to the City of Santa Barbara Library. So when, you know, you're offering programming, do you have any idea of the breakdown of people that you're serving that might be from that same, you know, non-Goleta Valley area?
We do not. We do not pre-register for our programs except the Science Friday programs. We do pre-register for those because we have limited supplies and can only take a very limited number of kids. But other than that, no, our programs are just come in and drop in.
Okay. Commissioner Goodman.
Yeah, this may unfold as we develop a mission statement, but I'd love when you're reporting on programming and your numbers, I'd love to see what your goals were and to have some outcome reporting. So it's great to know that we had hundreds of people come to the library, but I don't know if the goal is just to have people come or if there's actually a, we want to know that they've learned a science idea. How did we measure that? How did we test whether we're actually doing what we wanted to do? And given that we don't have a mission statement, ultimately I think we'd want, I would imagine the programming would align with the mission, and that's how we would decide, you would decide what kind of programming to offer. So that's my comment.
I guess I have a comment on that comment. I guess I'm going to discuss that. Is there an outcome that you're looking for? I mean, to me, it's a huge resource to have a, a library that offers so many things for so many different people. And if they're well attended, I don't know.
I guess I need to turn that light on. I'll do this.
You turn the light on so that I can see it up here. I know, we're still just figuring these things out. And there's a lot of buttons to push.
I guess I think programming just to have programming is okay, but you kind of want to know why you're doing it, and if we're actually doing what we wanted to do. So I think best practice is to have a, to have a goal, and to know whether you met the goal, or how well you're meeting the goal, to make it a learning experience. So that may not be what libraries do.
Yeah, I guess, but I think maybe we need to understand what the goal of the library is.
That's why I said I think it needs to be turned, that it would tie into the mission statement. Because if the mission is to have as many people come into the library as possible, which would be a fine mission, then we'd measure success based on that. If the mission is something about literacy, we would want to actually evaluate whether we're meeting that is a goal.
Well, but aren't we doing that with the 1,000 books read and some of those other literacy metrics? Are you saying that that's
the long-term goal is 1,000 books read? Does that, I would love to know, is that the driver for kindergarten readiness? Do we see, and that may not be the library's mission, but is there a relationship with the schools where we're seeing that when children have done that, they're at a particular level in school, that they continue reading? And that's a long-term goal that you probably wouldn't measure and report. So certainly some of the programs really clearly had a set of goals, and some of them, I don't know if they did. Maybe they did. Maybe they were just number goals, which is also okay.
Yeah. Did you want to provide any background on that?
Well, I think that generally a public library wants to provide not just learning programs, but recreational programs. And we get a lot of requests for craft programs and things like that. We base our programs essentially on what I and the other librarians know are good library practice, as well as what our patrons are asking us to provide. And we are asking questions about that through the Harwood Conversations as well, to find out what types of programs people are most interested in, so that we can really focus ourselves on what is most important to our service population, because there are so many different kinds of programs that you can do. And the problem can be that you spread yourself too thin and you spread your staff too thin. So yes, there is a need to to be very mindful about the programs that you're providing. I think right now we are doing a good job of providing a balanced set of programs that address the early literacy needs between the 1,000 books, between our multiple pre-kindergarten story times, between, I didn't speak about it specifically, but our Family Place program, which is for children ages 0 to 3, and it teaches reading readiness skills in a very practiced way. And so I think we're hitting that early literacy goal that many libraries have, the road to literacy. And then we're trying to hit the STEAM requirements as best we can through the Science Fridays and then through individual programs. We're trying to hit the cultural programming through our bilingual story time, as well as the individual monthly programs that we do through the Dia de los Niños, things like that. And then, you know, book-related crafts, our craft drop-ins often have a relation to books, like the Harry Potter Day, things like that. So we are very mindful in the programs that we do. But we are reflecting what our patrons have asked us to provide.
Thanks, I appreciate that background. I was hoping that you'd speak a little bit about the Harwood conversations and how, you know, that informs the decision making as you move forward with programs. Because ultimately, I mean, to my mind, you know, literacy and readiness and ensuring that you know, kids are engaged with reading early on is important. I think it's also important just to have a safe place in a community for enjoyment and social and emotional development as much as part of that as literacy.
Right. It's hard for us to track what happens to kids once they reach school. But anecdotally, we have heard from parents. For example, we heard from one parent whose child was one of our first Pause to Read children, who was doing really badly in school and was not doing well with his reading. But she credits the Pause to Read program with helping him so much that he's now in middle school and he's doing really well. And she came and told us that she really believes that it was the Pause to Read program that turned things around for him. And we've heard from other parents that they felt that the 1,000 Books to Kindergarten program, because when they sign up for it, we kind of explain to them why it's so important, that they've come back and told us that they feel like they really helped their child and that they feel really proud that they accomplished that program. So, you know, anecdotally, we feel like we're really accomplishing that goal.
Thanks. Are there any other comments or thoughts on that item? Okay, so thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Moving forward then, we have a discussion related to the budget. So we'll move on to that next section of the agenda, please.
So finally.
Yes, we've been asking for this for a while, so yes. I really appreciate you putting it in here.
Yes.
Sure, we all do.
So this is our budget at the end of June. It's not a fiscal year end of budget. We have not closed out our fiscal year budget. But this was an unaudited budget as of June 30th. So if I can answer any questions, I'm happy to.
Are there questions? Yes, Vice Chair.
So first question I have is that when is the fiscal year ending?
The fiscal year ended on June 30th.
It did. Okay. So the, yes. The year-to-date actuals here are effectively then 100% final?
No. No. They don't close out the fiscal year, I believe, until September, I think. So this is not a this is not 100% end of fiscal year budget, but this is what was in the computer as of June 30th. But there were invoices that were still coming
in. That will be back applied.
Yes.
Accrual. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that probably then answers some of my questions here. I'm curious. So your part-time salaries were higher than you were expecting. Is that Is there like was some staffing issue that's causing more?
Yes. During this fiscal year, we were without a children's librarian for some time. I'm not sure how many months it was. So we had to fill in some of the desk time that that person would have covered. Same thing, we were without a branch supervisor for almost 2 months, so that person had desk time. So we needed our current part-time staff to cover those extra hours. You can see we're under in terms of full-time
regular
salary.
Yeah, I noticed the shift from regular to part-time. So yeah,
that's what that is.
What is other revenue? You have an additional $500,000 that you got this year more than you were expecting.
I'm not sure. I'll have to come back with an answer for you next month.
Okay.
That was a great answer.
Not that much, no.
You know what? In CIP services, at the bottom of the expenditures and under capital expenditures, that was budgeted for $250,000, and you spent nothing.
$35,000.
Good savings there.
Yeah. No, I'll have to get back to you on that one too.
Was the drop in books and subscriptions due to that the budget issue you flagged before, that you had stopped buying because of?
The issue with the books and subscriptions was at the beginning of the fiscal year, we had to establish contracts with Baker and Taylor and Midwest, and it took some time. And once we established those contracts, we then had to learn how to order through our ILS system. So we didn't actually start placing orders until September. Okay. So we lost 3 months there, or sorry, 2 months there. And we never caught up again. We didn't have a children's librarian until November. So she didn't start purchasing until December. So we were behind. We are gonna be rolling over, I think 70,000 to this year's book budget from last year's.
You might have already said this, but I'm sorry. What is the majority of your professional services? Is that legal or?
That's mostly black gold.
Okay.
And that includes Hoopla. That includes Overdrive. That includes the shipment between all of the branches.
You don't count that, the Hoopla, et cetera, under subscriptions?
No. Nope. As long as it's from, as long as it's done through Black Gold, it goes under that category. Okay.
Thank you so much for putting this together. I know a lot of questions that I've had over the last few months that now I'll actually be able to, when those questions come up, I can actually look at, for example, the breakdown of staffing versus books and and understand now how much you're actually spending to Black Gold. It's just it's really great to have this. So.
And I'll have the answers for you on those two questions that you have next month.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's really helpful to have a budget. It allows us to make better decisions too. Okay, any other thoughts, comments? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the last item under the director's report, which is mission statement.
Okay, so now that you've heard about our physical materials, our virtual materials, you saw my library work plan where I went into outreach, staffing, grants, the Harwood process, and then today we looked at programming. Now we want to try to encapsulate what we do and what we aspire to do with a mission statement. I've provided you with some sample ones, and if you've had a chance to look at them, you'll see some recurring phrases such as lifelong learning and recreation. I'd like to get your input as key stakeholders. And we'll start talking about it tonight, and we'll continue the discussion next month. But I'm curious to get your input and your thoughts. I would ultimately like to go to the council with a suggestion for a mission statement, and then also a vision statement, some sort of pithy little logo that we could use for social media and such.
And when would you like those? And when would you like that to be going to City Council?
I don't have a timeline.
Okay. Well, we obviously need all of us here, I think, to discuss it. I believe Commissioner Murr will be back next time.
So what is the process for that, given that we have a meeting culture and public culture?
Right. So are we workshopping ideas here on the dais? Okay.
Yes, you're coming up with an idea ultimately that will be, you know, one of several options that I present to the council. We'll try to get our heads around. It's very difficult to try and come up with a mission statement because the library is so many things mm-hmm. to so many people, so many different things. As you can see from some of these statements, some of them are very practical, others are more theoretical. So I'm just really curious to get your input, and I need your help, need your expertise.
Yeah, so it would be my preference to laboriously read through all of these and then maybe have some conversation, pull out some keywords. But I really think we need all of the commissioners here in order to workshop some ideas. And also it gives us potentially a month to ruminate on some things and maybe come up with our own thoughts.
I'd also add a couple of libraries to it. Ventura has a fairly elaborate vision statement and a pretty abstract mission statement, but so the library is a little closer to it's good to have Denver, but closer to us to see what they're doing in this area.
You mean in terms of size or?
Well, size and proximity, I think, you know. I looked at LA last time, and that might be worth looking at just because it's relatively close, but mm-hmm. you know, Ventura, maybe Camarillo,
give you the Ventura mission statement.
Okay. Yeah, so it's inspiring our community to explore, discover, and connect, you know, mm-hmm. and which is pretty abstract. And mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Commissioner or Vice Chair, did you have a comment?
So for what it's worth, I'm not certain if I'll be at a meeting next
month. Oh, got it, okay.
But I don't mind at all this discussion happening without me particularly. I mean, I can just leave a couple comments now. It's agendized. I can, the Peoria Public Library statement really struck me because it has something concrete in it, which might make it a bad mission statement or might make it a great mission statement. But when I read it, I actually felt like I could actually determine what the library might do or not do in a more cohesive fashion with its provide all residents books, other printed materials, new technologies and programs. A lot of the other ones essentially all felt, I mean, to be honest, were roughly equivalent to me. I mean, they were all, we would like to help people learn and grow and become better people, and I'm okay with either kind of mission statement, but
okay,
I noticed the difference there. So,
do we want to tackle mission statements and then vision statements? I think we should have some sort of order here, so we're not just bandying back and forth. So, do we want to talk about a mission statement first? Thank you, Commissioner Goodman. Bueller.
I'm wondering what is useful to you. If you want to hear some general reactions, which you've sort of done, because we're not going to come up with
right,
one
not
here.
Today,
this
no.
is just an opportunity. Like, we can look at this and I have some reactions to some, if that would be useful. Or so that's my question. What would be most useful to you at this moment?
I would like to hear your reactions to to these statements or thoughts that you've had about a mission statement for our library.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, the things that jumped out at me from the Providence Public Library, it struck me that they included connects diverse communities, because I thought that's something that would drive a particular kind of engagement. It helps you make a choice. Similarly, I liked connect in a welcoming environment. Again, that's a value statement, and to think about that. I think most of them, you know, they do say, oh, we want people to learn, explore, discover. Those are all things. They're all good things, but how are we going to do that? I want to know what the values are that drive that mission. So it's interesting to me in Ventura that there's really a whole background on theory and theory on the role that a library would play. I don't know that that's a vision statement, but I think it's really interesting because it does say why they exist. I think it's way too long for a vision statement.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. And I also like the word connect. I mean, I like something that's a little bit more tangible than just, you know, lofty goals or platitudes. I don't think those are really helpful. I do like some of the aspects with Berkeley. They are providing things as well. They're connecting and providing. And I think those are also really nice and tangible. It tells you exactly what they're doing. I like the ideas of community. A place itself, safe and welcoming.
Well, can we walk through them perhaps one at a time collectively?
That's what I was trying to do, mm-hmm. is just that laborious aspect of walking through, mm-hmm. you know, one by one. So why don't we just, in a line, read them out and then kind of workshop them. So do you want to read the first one, Commissioner Goodman?
Yeah. The Berkeley Public Library provides materials and services to help community residents obtain information to meet their personal, educational, and cultural needs, and serves as a learning and educational center for its residents. So if I can just react to that, it strikes me that it's focused on a center, that would imply people go there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've talked a lot about outreach, and nothing's wrong with either one, it's just, which one are we? Are we predominantly a center? Are we more interested in beyond the walls of the library? I do like that it's pretty specific and that it includes cultural needs as well, mm-hmm. as individual needs.
Yeah, so I like the use of the word providing materials, services to help communities, residents, not necessarily residents. I would personally like community members. I really appreciate personal, educational, and cultural needs, and that aspect of learning. So those are the items that I like in that mission statement.
The things I like.
Do you have anything to opine on first?
I also liked the Berkeley one from the perspective of what I mentioned before about the Peoria one. I just want to make certain also, I think it was your intention that you wanted to do this when Murr was here, and I was just saying I could provide some
commentary. I think we need to go through and walk through each of them.
You do want to do today also. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, let's start it today, and then Meredith can jump in.
Yeah, so I like the Berkeley one has some properties that are similar to the Peoria one that I liked, the providing part. I also notable on here is that we have a separate vision statement from the mission statement for the Berkeley one, and that there is some separation there in the sense that the mission statement is somewhat concrete and the vision statement is a little bit more long term, and maybe it shows. Maybe I almost get to see if we just adopted that, I'd be fine.
Okay. But. Okay. Well, let's just stick with the mission statement now, and we're going to go through methodically on each one of these. I promise I won't keep us here till 9 o'clock, but let's just get through it.
Personal, educational, and cultural needs, with the phrases that came out of the mission statement. I actually think the vision statement is close to a mission statement anyway, but rather than being a vision statement. But
Okay, I'm going to read the vision statement now. The Berkeley Public Library will foster the spirit of exploration, lifelong learning, the joy of reading, and the pursuit of informational knowledge for all ages and cultures. That sounds lovely. It sounds just way out there in the astral realm. I'd prefer something a little bit more grounded, although it all sounds nice.
I mean, it is a vision statement.
I know, so. Yeah. I just...
Well,
this is the first one, so it's the first one.
Can you turn your mic on? And then you can just take your finger away, and then you don't need to...
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought it was on. Sorry.
Okay.
I mean, I do like some phrases from the vision statement, whether they're from this one or some of the others that were serviced before. I think lifelong learning is important, and I think all ages and cultures is important.
Yeah.
I mean, there's refrigerator magnet words throughout a lot of these, pursuit of information. I mean, that stuff we can get past and be more succinct than, I think.
Okay.
Lori? I don't have strong feelings about this one. I'm gonna pass.
Okay. Vice Chair Freeman, do you want to read the San Jose mission statement?
San Jose Public Library enriches lives by fostering lifelong learning and by ensuring that every member of the community has access to a vast array of ideas and information.
Commissioner Peck, do you have any thoughts?
Every member of the community.
Commissioner Goodman?
That's also what struck me. It's very ambitious, and that would be the thing you'd want to measure. You know, are there people in the community that are not accessing if we were choosing every member of the community?
Right. I do like every member of the community. I also like enriching. I like that. Mm. That aspect. Okay. Mission for the Denver Public Library, Abe?
The Denver Public Library connects people with information, ideas, and experiences to provide enjoyment, enrich lives, and strengthen our community. Two things that we haven't talked about that came up in this one that haven't come up yet. Enjoyment. Our library should be a rewarding and fun place, especially for perhaps younger people. And strengthen our community. This could be a big deal, but is there a role, you know, for democracy, for intellectual freedom, for general knowledge of the community, inform public to vote, things like that.
I like that.
Yeah, and once again, I like strengthen our community. I'm not sure that's the library's mission, but I would think we'd want to evaluate how are we strengthening the community. Should we go with something like that? I mean, to me, the words matter in terms of driving goals and driving programming.
Director Gray.
I'd like to speak to that. We are very involved with the census effort. We have just arranged to have the League of Women Voters in our lobby to register people to vote. We're working with going out into the community to help non-English speakers pass their citizenship test. So I feel that strengthen our community is a role that the public library has a part in. So I think that's an important
grave
part to consider.
I concur with that, and I also concur with Commissioner Peck that strengthen our community, or however we want to, you know, discuss the role of that being just a backbone resource of any civilized society, you know, providing for, you know, democracy. Being really important, and I feel like a library is central to that and a very core ideal, so I'm happy with that statement. Okay, did you want to read the library's mission for
sure.
Lewis and Jefferson County?
The library's mission is to provide the people of Louisville and Jefferson County with the broadest possible access to knowledge, ideas, and information, and to support them in their pursuit of learning. I'm not sure that says much.
Yeah, it's
agree.
Kind of vanilla. I don't like it. I had a thought about it, but I don't remember what it was now. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Maybe if you had the broadest possible
access to my brain at this particular moment. yeah, it's not very memorable. It doesn't seem like a very good example. The vision of the Hiawatha Public Library is to provide the members of its community with access to information which can improve their minds, broaden their lives, and fulfill their cultural, civic, intellectual, educational, and recreational needs. That's a lot. That's a big promise. But I'm not sure that I don't like it. I like the all of the nouns, you know, being listed that way. I think having it more interwoven in an aspirational way would be more effective.
The Arlington Public Library provides access.
Well, did you want to comment on Hiawatha at all? I know we're going sort of through this really. One by one, okay.
It's just it's a shopping list.
I want to say, though, that this is the only one so far that's mentioned recreational needs, and you've spoken quite a bit, Allison, about recreation. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think the other one's about enjoyment, so joy, recreation, some sort of, glee that we experience. Okay, anyone else? No? Arlington? Vice Chair Freeman.
The Arlington Public Library provides access to information, creates connections among people, and promotes reading and culture for every Arlingtonian.
Is that your best radio voice? No, is that like... Did you have any thoughts?
Connections in every...
Yeah. I agree. I like creating connections. Lori?
It sounds like we're wanting our library to do a lot of stuff.
Well, I think we're just going through like a shop,
And I'm reflecting that we want to do recreation and strengthen our community. I wrote foster civic engagement.
Yeah, well.
And connect people and promote individual learning. And that's all good. And maybe we want, I don't know, do we want to narrow, when you're everything, are you also nothing?
No, I get that. But we can also have, sort of a bunch of, we can have a word cloud that we decide we're going to collapse into a mission statement and then a word cloud into a vision statement and
Absolutely.
Then workshop those.
And it may be a great opportunity to take that word cloud and engage patrons to, say what speaks to them.
I like that.
We don't have to have a mission statement in the next 3 months. What a great process to engage our community in coming up with that mission.
That's a good idea.
I mean, to some extent, what we've been doing so far here is just looking at mission statements and then seeing what's been mentioned that hasn't been mentioned in the previous ones. So, of course, we're going to end up with kind of a superset of all of them as we're going through.
Well, I don't know. I think we're discarding. Some of them we just don't like.
Well, yeah, we didn't like the mission statement, but we're doing so, like, we're pointing out, like, oh, this is the first time we've heard recreational needs. This is the first time we've heard. And so I think that's what's also, is just like, this process wasn't designed to, at the end of it, have the mission statement. I mean, but I'm just the thing that you're, like, oh, the conversation is, of course, going to end up with a very broad thing. I think the real question, as Lori is saying, is figuring out what it is that we would want not to do. I could see actually starting from the perspective of what the library is currently doing, and then trying to take, like, for example, this presentation that we've been given with like all the different kinds of activities they do, put all of those out. I mean, computer science sort of thing. We put a bunch of post-it notes down, put them all down, then start clustering them into clusters in order to figure out higher level terminology for each of them. And then try to decide if we've got some outliers. Well, are these not fitting in the clusters because they're important and separate, or are they not fitting in the clusters because we're missing a concept that they could fit in, or are they just wrong? Like, are they just like not fitting in the clusters because they're outside the scope
of the
library?
That's something a computer scientist
I'm saying right now we're kind of just doing it from this.
I'm just responding to Lori's comment that it seems like we want to do everything. And I'm saying, well, I don't think that's what's happened so far. I think what's happened so far is that we're just looking at the mission statements and pointing out all of the things we're hearing that we haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. So it'll sound like we want to do everything, but we're just reacting. We're just having
knee-jerk reactions to what we're reading. And this is part of the process. This is step one in the process.
Green County?
The
Green County Public Library System is the community connection to reading, lifelong learning, and personal and professional enrichment for people of all ages. No, not much new in there.
No.
Sacramento Public Library, Brary, inspires our communities to discover, learn, and grow.
Not a fan of that.
Well, it's simple.
It's very simple, it's but I think it's empty. Overly right. simplified. I mean, it's just sort of forgettable, but that's just my opinion. Mid-Continent's Public Library's mission is to enrich our citizens and communities through expanding access to innovation, information, ideas, and inspiration. That's what it was, innovation. That's what I wanted to bring up. I think it's important to have innovation. I think that's an incredibly powerful word, and we should, you know, figure out maybe how to incorporate that. And I also like inspiration. Mm-hmm. Again, this is a word cloud. We'll come to closure on it.
It's
I'm
funny.
Sure.
I don't normally think of libraries as being about innovation. Uh-huh. You think of library. Maybe I should be wrong. But you know, you think of library as like where you go and you find the books that aren't, you know, that you hope are going to be there, and not necessarily the latest and greatest tech stuff. And
I don't think tech,
maybe
though.
We do have more innovation now.
I don't think tech when I think innovation, though, all the time. I mean, just new ideas, you know, right? Innovating new ideas and new thoughts and new perspectives and experiences and...
I like innovation. I'm not objecting to it. I'm reacting to it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
It's great.
Okay. Omaha? We're almost there.
Omaha Public Library strengthens our communities by connecting people with ideas, information, and innovative services.
Been there, done that.
You got innovation there, too.
Yeah, innovative services, though, I don't like. It's just... Okay, Abe, it's all you.
The Roselle Public Library District, striving to enrich community life by providing access to educational, cultural, and recreational information, encouraging lifelong learning, promoting intellectual freedom, and by providing a welcoming environment where all may read, play, learn, and discover. I mean, I like intellectual freedom. Yeah. I think it's important. Yeah. And lifelong learning we've talked about before. The welcoming environment came up in a much earlier statement, but, I think people have prejudices about libraries, pro and con, and stressing a welcoming environment might be something that survives.
Yeah, I like welcoming, and again, I like welcoming and safe. Some place that's, you know, kind of neutral and safe for people to, you know, to be.
I think those things are important. I'm intrigued by read, play, learn, and discover with capital letters. It's interesting. Okay, the Camden Public Library. I got to do it like Jake. The Camden Public Library is an anchor for the community. We bring together people to read, connect, and discover.
They don't play in Camden.
Yeah. They don't play, but they have capitals in Camden.
Yeah, they do.
That's for sure. And you have a good radio voice too. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I sort of like the image of it being an anchor, but it being sort of, you know, a nice... kind of center for the community. Providence Public Library engages learners, inspires thinkers, and connects diverse communities. I like that. It's active. I like the all the verbs in there. Any other thoughts, comments?
Connects.
Yep. Atlantic?
The Atlantic City Free Public Library provides resources and programs to meet the diverse educational, recreational, and informational needs of the Atlantic City community.
You have the best radio voice by far, though. Can't compete with that.
He could be doing PSAs.
Right, I know.
For sure.
Right.
For the library.
Yeah, for the library. It's perfect.
Diverse.
Yeah. Yep, diversity is good. And again, we have recreational.
Right.
Peoria
Public Library will provide all residents books, other printed materials, new technologies, and programs that stimulate personal intellectual growth and development and provide a satisfying experience that nurtures a love of reading and the joy of discovery. I don't like the size of this and a little bit of a shopping list, but there's a thought in here that might be worth considering, which is the user experience. You know, that this is the first one that's really talked about what the person who comes to the library senses and gets.
Right.
Oh, this group is not interested in community. It's all about the individual, is what this one says to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the personal growth, not about connecting communities, not about being a place of civic engagement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the individual who walks in and learns.
To read. I mean, that's really, the nurture is the love of reading. So it's very focused on sort of this myopic library reading experience.
No, I noticed that too. That's a fail in this one.
Yeah.
Well, or that's what their mission is. I mean, it's okay to have a mission that's not your mission.
But I think what we're saying is we don't want that mission to be we want
hearing
community
a lot about community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And certainly that's important to me. Yeah.
I think that's important to everybody here for sure.
My turn,
yes,
think.
It's your
the
turn.
Champaign Public Library connects our community with the power of knowledge, the world of culture and ideas, and the joy of reading. We support the essential role of reading for success in life and work, and the need for easy and equal access to lifelong learning, and the value of enriching and inspiring experiences. So the only thing that struck me here was equal access, which is definitely a value statement and you'd want to think about if you were going to put equal access, which I think I would want something that reflects, access for people.
Right.
Which brings a question. Is the current website ADA compliant?
Do not think it is.
Okay, so that means that we don't have equal access right now. It's something that we really need to explore because websites need to be ADA compliant. But I do like that equal access. I think that's very powerful. Anybody else? Fox River Valley Public Library District provides equal opportunity for all to learn, explore, imagine, create, and connect in a welcoming environment. So I like that welcoming environment. I like that equal opportunity. Equal opportunity and equal access are obviously different things. So, but it is just sort of like, do this, do that. I'm not sure. It's it is just a list. Santa Maria, Jay.
The mission of the Santa Maria Public Library is to inspire lifelong learning, embracing and strengthening our diverse community through free and equal access to information, knowledge, and ideas.
That's pretty good. I kind of like that.
Is there any value to actually say free? And some stuff isn't free, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do people think that? I don't know, actually. Do you want to do the vision statement, Abe?
Through sharing knowledge, we build a better community.
Okay.
And that's Santa Maria, I assume, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Learn, create, connect. We help people succeed. Are these all what we currently used or have used? What are these at the bottom?
No, they are samples that I found, but didn't give attribution for.
Okay. All right.
They're like taglines.
Yeah, they're taglines. They're way too.
Yeah.
They're not vision or mission. Okay. All right. So I don't know if you've been taking notes. Unfortunately, I'm sure you have. And so you've got scribbles. I think it would be most useful for us to ruminate on this a little bit and then come back with some maybe more developed thoughts or ideas about a vision statement and a mission statement. Do we have thoughts about how long we want that vision statement or that mission statement to be?
Well, I do a lot of these. I'm sure Lori does too, maybe other people. You know, mission statement, 2-3 sentences. Vision statement could be super short or it could be longer, depending on what we're trying to articulate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jay, do you have any thoughts?
And I would get rid of all the empty calorie words. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we say something, it has to be valuable. You know, equal should mean something, you know, as opposed to just the word.
I'm going to end up being the oddball out on all sorts of things. I mean, I would be okay with a page-long mission statement. I'd be okay with a short thing. I think at some level it's kind of like a stand-in for an actual process that people have in their heads. Mm. Like it's more of a symbol than anything else. I think that at some point, I mean, we're trying to distill something down to a couple sentences, and you're going to, by definition, end up leaving out something that's going to be important to somebody. And if you try to sit there and put it all in, then you're going to end up with something that starts feeling like a laundry list. And so I just find the process of mission statements, like I think that they're useful to have as kind of a statement, like almost part of like the elevator pitch for a product. But it's something that I guess I have less concern about the specifics thereof as much as I do about making certain that we have some kind of internal educational materials, some kind of onboarding mechanism that allows somebody to determine whether something is part of the library or not. And at that point, that's something that, well, again, could be pages long for all
I know. The answer is, it depends. And what it depends on, I might do these professionally. And, you know, the people who put them in a drawer, sayonara, you know, and never to be seen again, it might be a terrific mission statement on paper, but it's useless, you know. What's good about a mission statement is that, you know, it puts a stake in the ground. It helps you organize your priorities, and it helps new people who come into the library understand what this library is about. Now, I'm talking about professionals who come into the library. So I guess I'd argue just a little for having something. And I think the longer statement could be, for something like a library, the longer statement could be the vision statement.
I agree. You know?
Yeah. That might satisfy what you're saying, Jay.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should have a longer vision statement. Nothing. To my mind, nothing more than a paragraph. I think, you know, that should be enough. And I think the mission statement can be, you know, 2 to 3 sentences.
So I guess I'm still concerned about the process.
Well, you know, wait, let Lori talk. Lori.
I'm also curious about the process, but I'm thinking that I want to see values as well, mm-hmm. like mission, vision.
And values.
Values.
So 3 separate statements.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's any value to rushing through this. The city has a value statement. I've noticed it as I've walked around city offices and been really impressed that it's up there because it talks about how they do their work. And I think that's really important. In some ways, I think the values are even more important than the mission. But I agree with Abe that a good work in this drives a direction. It helps you make decisions and helps you decide whether you're doing a good job or not.
And tells you what not to do.
Right.
Also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it focuses you. Mm-hmm. And it focuses the community around what you're doing. So then is there value to not having a mission statement, not having a vision statement and having a mission statement and a value statement?
I've seen all 3, you know, and I think with a high-touch environment like a library, a value statement's a good idea. And so I mean, assuming we can execute any of these, you know, without having meetings, I'd go for all 3, personally.
Okay. So then, go ahead with the part. Did you want to point on the process?
Yeah, I'm just concerned. I mean, do we then go, you know, and how do we communicate?
But we can't communicate outside.
That's correct.
Right, we're a brand new community. Mm-hmm. So we have to communicate on this dais. So, again, do we want to go back to our little separate spaces and, you know, ruminate on this and come up with some ideas to bring to the next meeting? Or are we going to workshop it at the next meeting?
Well, I'm wondering, at the risk of giving you more to do on top of Harwood conversations and community mm-hmm. engagement, that this seems like an opportunity for staff, for the community to weigh in, to to engage people beyond this body, and then to bring that information back to this body to have more discussion. Now, maybe there's nothing else out there. Maybe these statements have covered everything there is. So I'm wondering if there's a way when we're here to, as Jay would say, there. I think of sticky die exercises, but you know, to do a computer program and cluster and think about where things go together. It's hard to have a discussion in this kind of space.
Right, but I think it's better to have the community have something to react to. So to my mind, it would be better for us to come up with some value statements and mission statements and vision statements, and then let the community weigh in on those, but not just to give the community word clouds and pull it together.
Well, and then, can I posit one more alternative?
Yeah.
Which is, we've gone through here and voiced probably, I don't know, 15 things that we like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and different verbiage from different statements. Does the board want to do this, or should the staff take it on?
I would not like to give it to the staff personally.
Okay.
I mean, this is, I think we should do the work and then come up here and discuss it at our next meeting, and you know, and then provide it to the folks at the library.
I guess what I'm saying is they ultimately have to own it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think the community should weigh in on that work.
Sure, of course, I agree with that. And, okay. So, do we come next time with a word cloud? Do we come next time with our own best drafts? Do we come both? It's not that hard. It's 15 words, and maybe we take a shot and then see what we have.
Yeah, because I also think we'll have Meredith to weigh mm-hmm. in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, this is an iterative process. It isn't rushing, but I think, you know, we've bandied about a bunch of different ideas. I think it would be helpful if we all went home and thought about it a little bit and then came back with some, you know, some statements, whether or not we've assigned them to different categories. You know, we can talk about that later, but I think it would be good to come up with some thoughts and bring those back to share.
Okay.
I mean, this is a public meeting as well, and so folks can come in and opine on that, but I don't know what other people think about that idea.
Let me see.
I just think, you know, we don't have Meredith here as well, so it might be good to
not get too far out in front of
right, you. Exactly.
Okay.
Because we're not gonna come up with those statements right now at 7:11 at night.
We're not.
Okay.
And we are not meeting in September.
Correct.
Oh, that's right. Oh. I'll take the rest of the month off.
Correct.
Well, aforementioned when I said I wasn't. Possibly right. It'd be at the next meeting. I meant that one, which apparently doesn't exist anyway.
Well, right, no. Right.
Neither will we.
So. Right. So, yeah, we don't meet until October, so we have lots of time.
We're not meeting in September?
I didn't think we were. I thought we were. We had
it's Labor Day. I'm going to be out
right.
of the country.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Monday so we're not, second, yeah, we're not meeting in September, so we'll meet in October.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're all going to go where Lori's going. Just kidding.
Join me on safari.
So we have plenty of time then to come up with some ideas. Is that
okay, sure.
reasonable for folks?
Mm, yep.
Okay. Okay.
Great.
All right. Thank you for all that. Thanks, everybody, for their vigorous engagement. Do we have any reports by any of our commission members that anybody would like to talk about? Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm part of the community census work. And have been attending a variety of meetings on census. So I just wanted to mention that the library frequently comes up as an important place for census work to be done to support people who don't have access to broadband and computers to be able to fill out the census. I think the census is probably the most important issue our communities, our county is going to be dealing with in the next few months. And so I just wanted to say that I've been part of that, and the library comes up, and I wear both my personal, my work hat and my library hat sometimes in those conversations.
I'd love to see what those hats look like.
Flowers.
Okay, any other reports? Okay, so future agenda items. It sounds like we'll have some items to reflect on with the budget, and then we'll also have some items to discuss related to the vision, mission, and values.
Right. Okay. Homework.
Homework. Yeah. The library gives you homework. We can work that in there somewhere too.
It's part of my lifelong learning.
There we go. Exactly. Are there any other items that you'd like to discuss?
We could try speaking only in these words. We could probably.
If there aren't any other items, then we can adjourn the meeting. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody.
Yep.